Good morning. Today we're going to finish our series, Return to Life. And we're going to finish the series with the story of Joseph. You see, Joseph was the son of Jacob, who we had just talked about 2 weeks ago. And Joseph's father loved him very much. But the problem was is that Joseph wasn't Jacob's only son. You see, in Genesis 37, we read this. Jacob loved Joseph more than any of his other children, because Joseph had been born to him in his old age. So one day Jacob had a special gift made for Joseph, a beautiful robe. But his brothers hated Joseph because their father loved him more than the rest of them. They couldn't say a kind word to him. You see, Joseph was the runt of the family. He had a lot of older brothers. And I'm sure any parent in this room will be able to tell you that siblings fight. It can be very easy for siblings to get on each other's nerves, to argue constantly, and just fight with each other. And that was the case for Joseph and his brothers. Except their sibling contention was magnified by the fact that, A, Joseph and his brothers all didn't share the same mother. You see, Jacob had sons with his wife Rachel and with his other wife Leah, and with each of their servants, Zilpah and Bilhah. So all of the sons of Jacob were spread across four different mothers. And that only magnified their issues with each other. But then, as we just read, Jacob had a clear favorite. Jacob loved Joseph because Joseph was born to him in his old age and because he was the son of Rachel, whom he loved more than any of his wives. Joseph was spoiled. He was pampered. He got anything that he ever wanted. He was showered with gifts and affections, and it was very obvious. And this made Joseph's brothers hate him more and more and more with each passing day. Until one day, their hatred had reached a point where it couldn't grow any further. You see, there was a day where Jacob had told Joseph, "Joseph, I want you to go out. All your brothers are out tending their flocks. And I want you to go find them, and I want you to get a report on them. I just want you to know where they are, what they're doing, how things are going, etc. And come back and tell me about it." And so Joseph went out. And he found his brothers out in the fields, and they were all alone. And Joseph's brothers looked, and they saw him approaching. And they all gathered together, and they said, "Look, there he is. We've had enough. Let's kill him." And so Joseph approaches his brothers and waves his hand and he says, "Hey." And his brothers proceed to gather around. They grab him and they pummel him and they pummel him and they pummel him. And they throw him in a dried out well. And they were going to leave him to die. So he laid there beaten and bruised and bleeding with no way out. You know, one might think that this would be the end of Joseph's story. That Joseph lived this pampered, spoiled life where he was the clear favorite, he got whatever he wanted, and his brothers just couldn't take it anymore, and so they took their revenge and killed him. One might think that this would be the end of Joseph's story. But one of the brothers had the good sense of saying, no, let's not kill our brother. He's our own flesh and blood. We can't kill him. And so they decided to sell him. His brothers saw these traders off in the distance. And so they got the traders to come over and they said, "Look, here, we have someone we want to sell as a slave." And so they sold Joseph for a cheap price. And Joseph was taken as a slave to Egypt, never to see his family again. And so Joseph's brothers, they took his beautiful coat that he was wearing, and they covered it in animal's blood, and they ripped it to shreds, and they brought it back to his father. And they said, "Look, isn't this your son Joseph's robe? It looks like he was killed by a wild animal." And Jacob was grieved for the rest of his life because he thought that his favorite son had been killed. But see, we read in the Bible that the Lord God was with Joseph. And so Joseph was taken to Egypt, and he was sold as a slave to a man named Potiphar. Now, Potiphar was an extremely important and powerful man in Egypt. He was the captain of the guard. So Potiphar had a large household. He was very rich. He had a lot of power and respect. And so Joseph was sold to live the life of a slave. and he was one of many slaves. But because the Lord God was with him, Joseph found favor with Potiphar. And so Potiphar began to give him some extra responsibilities. And then he gave him some more responsibilities, and some more responsibilities, and some more responsibilities, until one day Potiphar decided, you know what, Joseph? You are responsible, you serve me well, you are a hard worker. I see that the Lord God is with you. So I'm going to put you in charge of my household. All right? In my household, there will be no one more powerful than you, except for me. All of these servants, they will do as you command. So this life is looking up. Joseph, who lived a pampered and spoiled life, was betrayed by his brothers, almost killed, and now sold into a slavery where he was ripped from his family and taken to a foreign land, has now become the head of a powerful man's household in Egypt. Joseph's never going to have to worry about not having food, not having clothing, not having shelter. He's going to be taken care of. Things are looking up. This was basically the best life that a slave could possibly have. Except there was a problem, and that problem was that Potiphar wasn't the only one who liked Joseph. In fact, Potiphar's wife also liked Joseph, and she liked Joseph a little too much. You see, Potiphar's wife was filled with lust for Joseph. And so day after day, she would approach Joseph when no one was around, and she would say, Joseph, come sleep with me, come sleep with me. But this Joseph was faithful to his God, and he was faithful to his master Potiphar. And so time after time after time, he denied her, and he said, no, I cannot betray my master like this. And so her lust for Joseph continued to grow and to grow and to grow until one day there was no one in the house except her and Joseph. And she ran over to Joseph and she said, come sleep with me. And Joseph ripped himself out of her arms, and all he did was run away. Joseph did the right thing. He denied her. Except at this point, Potiphar's wife's lust for Joseph had grown so much that the constant denial and the constant unfulfillment from that lust turned that lust into hatred. And so she was standing there holding Joseph's cloak that he had ripped himself out of. And so she decided to scream. And she got on the ground and just started screaming and crying. And she screamed so loud that the people out in the streets outside the house could hear her. And so they ran in. They said, what's going on? What's going on? And she told them, my husband's servant Joseph tried to have his way with me while no one was around. And so news spread. And news got around to Potiphar. And when Potiphar heard this, he was filled with rage towards Joseph. And so he decided to throw Joseph in prison for the rest of his life. And so Joseph, a man who was faithful and responsible, who did the right thing, was given a life sentence in a prison in a foreign country. One might think that this would be the end of Joseph's story. That Joseph would simply waste away in this prison. That he was betrayed by his brothers, almost killed by them, and then sold into slavery, never to see his family again. That he had a chance for a good life as a slave, but then that was ruined because he did the right thing. And so now, he'll simply be here in jail. One might think that that would be the end. Except the Lord God was with Joseph. Now, see, there's a prison guard whose responsibility was to manage all of the prisoners, to make sure that they were fed, to make sure that they weren't being rowdy or trying to escape or anything like that. And because the Lord God was with Joseph, Joseph found favor with this prison guard. And so the prison guard decided to start giving him responsibilities. And Joseph was a hard worker who served this guard. And so the prison guard began to give him more responsibilities and more responsibilities and more responsibilities until one day the prison guard decided, you aren't Joseph. I'm going to put you in charge of the prison. You're going to be in control. The only person who you'll have to listen to is me. Everyone else will listen to you. You're going to be in control. Things were looking up. This was the best life that a prisoner could possibly have. to be in charge of all of the other inmates, all of the other prisoners? If you're in charge, then you get to make sure that you get food, you get water, all right? In fact, you're probably picking out the best food for yourself. Or you're probably making sure that you have quite a large portion on your plate. Everybody else is going to listen to you. You don't have to deal with anybody messing with you. This is the best life a prisoner could possibly have. And then one day, Joseph thought that he finally had his chance for freedom. You see, there's a day where Pharaoh, the ruler of Egypt, his cupbearer was thrown into prison, along with his baker. And these two men, they were tossed into jail for grieving Pharaoh in some way. And once they were thrown in jail, they started to have strange dreams and strange visions. Now Joseph, he was no stranger to strange dreams himself. And so when he heard that these men were having strange dreams, he told them, "The Lord God is the one who interprets dreams. You tell me your dreams, and God will tell me its meaning." So the cupbearer and the baker, they told him his dreams. And Joseph looked at the cupbearer and he said, "This is what your dream means. Your dream means that in 3 days, there will be some guards coming.